This man is amazing. He's just such a beautiful presenter of words and feelings, and I am so grateful he's joining us tonight, as I'm sure you will be. Please give a warm welcome to Antler. Whoa is right. Woo!
Thank you, O Fathomless Universe, for blessing me with a cosmic soulmate for almost 50 years. Thank you, Jeff, for creating the Earth Poets and Musicians group that's performed for 27 years in Milwaukee. So I'm going to read just poems by Jeff. Late for my own funeral. My mother always used to say, "You'll be late for your own funeral." Dear mother, I fear my own funeral is the one thing I'll be on time for. I just hope I don't get there early. I'm going to read some old favorites and some that you've never heard before. The Last Endangered Species Glass. 3 years ago, two friends gave me a set of 6 endangered species glasses, each glass etched with the picture and name of one of the species near extinction. The oryx was the first to bite the dust. A friend laughed so hard at something I said, it slipped full of wine from her fingers. A few months later, the cheetah fleeted faster than my reflex to catch it. The polar bear was a loser in a battle with an ice cube tray. The whooping crane flew out of my hand as I wildly gestured a poem. The eagle was the last to go. I broke it against the faucet while doing the dishes. Each time one of those glasses broke, I got a lesson in fragility, a shattered metaphor for what extinction means. Now only the tiger remains, and it's chipped. Monarch. I would kneel before a monarch butterfly before I would kneel to any human monarch. I would kneel before a monarch butterfly before I would kneel before any anthropomorphic monarch of the clouds. I would kneel before the metamorphosis of the monarch chrysalis, reverently as I'd kneel before the most mystical anthropomorphic metamorphosis of post-mortem resurrection. Whale wisdom piece, Illumination. One way the world could survive in joy is if the whole world worshipped whales. If ancient Egyptians worshipped cats, how much more we should worship whales? I really believe we should worship whales and regard them as superior, if not actually supreme, intelligentsias, for they can nowise hurt us, unlike most of the gods currently worshipped. Their whole being is exaltation and play. I believe we should apprentice ourselves to whales and dolphins more eagerly than to any human guru. The whales sing and play all day, and when they're hungry, all they do is open their big mouths. How can they help it if millions of krill happen to seep in? Yes, the whales sing and play all day, and don't have to mail their songs to any publisher whales in order to be free from factories and blow geysers of ecstasy all day long. The whales have no factories, need no factories, want no factories, and sing and play and blow geysers of joy all day long. Their only reason to go mad with anguish and agony are the lightning bolts exploding unaccountably into their brains. Harpoons expertly hurled by beings made in image of Jehovah, the explosive harpoons of human mind. Aikido those harpoons, most whale-like human friends. So now we're going to go back to 1970, when Jeff was 23, working with me at Continental Can Company on Port Washington Road in the press department, bagging tops and bottoms of aluminum cans as they came off the press machine in cardboard tubes or bags. So machines shed aluminum tears. How they suffer, the machines, shift after shift, day after day, year after year. Their only relief for repair, no wages, but the immortality of replaced parts. They cannot resolve every night before bed to give the next morning their 2 weeks' notice. They have no beds, no dreams. While I sleep, their eyes are held open by other hands. Other hands shuffle their tears in search of defects. Each machine a crippled dream of perpetual motion. Tonight, my ears are not the battered coasts of their weeping. I do not see aluminum sheets drop through the press like seconds through a guillotine clock. I do not handle countless cardboard tubes, regarding them as blinded telescopes. My friend and I have called in sick. We are in Lake Park, deep in the second shift night, high on breaths of our friendship. I try to forget the machines. I cannot comfort them. I can't give them the rest of rust or even the dream of it. Tonight, I lie on my back on a picnic table, and the face of my friend gazes down at me from the deep night sky of stars. This is the real thing. Coca-Cola decided to call itself the real thing. Coca-Cola is not the real thing. Poetry is the real thing. Nature is the real thing. But according to trademark registration law, poetry can't be the real thing anymore, because if it is, it could be sued by the Coca-Cola Corporation. Let Lee Iacocca Cola sue me. Since poetry has nothing to lose, money-wise or otherwise, I hereby declare poetry the real thing and Coca-Cola the shameless imposter. How dare Coca-Cola call itself the real thing and claim exclusive ownership of those three words in the English language? If Coca-Cola's the real thing, then give me some of the unreal thing and not just some un-cola. If Coca-Cola is the real thing, then give me the surreal thing. Give me a surreal canoe to beyond where a cougar is a car and dawn is something you wash dishes with. Beyond the toxic dump of trademark reality. Away from the realtors of reality who shot the wild buffalo of language. Yeah, when Jeff was 28, he and I climbed a nameless peak that was over 12,000 feet high in the Gore Range Eagle's Nest Primitive Area in Colorado. And on top of the nameless peak that he called Immortality Mountain, he wrote a short poem, and he also looked at this stone and decided this stone needed to come back and be part of his heart center. So I brought this stone from Immortality Mountain so it could hang out with the Earth Poets tonight. And so the poem he wrote on top is a song, and it takes its origin from God in the Bible, who said, "I am who am." So this is the "I am who am" song. I am who am, you am who am, he am who am, she am who am, it am who am, we am who am, I am who am, you am, he am, she am, it am, we? I am who am, you am who am, he am who am, she am who am, it am who am, we am who am, I am, you am, who was, who will be. Jeff passed away at twilight time when twilight was about to become full dark. So I found this poem. I'd never seen it before, and I want to share it. It's called "The Lover of Twilight." The lover of twilight could do nothing during the hour between latest late afternoon and the full dark of fully fallen night. The magic of that magic time freed him from all holds of time and held him in healing embrace. Like the trees outside his window, he became silent and still witness, his thoughts rustling like the leaves. The birds never sang more beautifully than them, and voices of children at play seemed just another kind of bird song. He didn't have to drop everything he was doing. Everything he was doing dropped away. Once, during his tryst with twilight, he said to himself, "Let there be light, let there be night, and let there be twilight." And he saw that all were good. He kept vigil to savor the fading day, letting deepening shades of dark engulf him, soothe him, console him. He wished that when his time came to die, he might pass as gracefully between life and death as the day passed between day and night. Maybe, he thought, by observing how the day did it, he could do it too. In 1984, I was walking with Jeff along Lake Michigan, and he discovered this stone, and he wrote a poem about it. We have a lot of stones at our place. They don't need to get stoned, because they are stone. So this is the stone. It has fossils in it, and this is "Message from the Deep." Strolling the shore of Lake Michigan, I discover a cuneiform tablet, hieroglyphed with fossilized remains of tiny lives, shell lives, clams smaller than my little fingernail, embedded side by side, tossed up by Lake Michigan, knowing I needed it, some special miracle to re-alert me to the miracle of life. This tablet, the size of my hand, not thou shalt nots, lightened by biblical epic special effects, this tablet written by the only God there is, this tablet written in shell language, tinged with rust-colored sand, all in my hand, this gift from the sea, this sea whispered me geological whisper, this whisper echo of the eonic earth, this heirloom from great-great-grandmother earth, this oracular telegram from the deep, this deep image washed up to my feet as if directed specifically to me, this many million year memento from the ocean that was here before Lake Michigan existed, this enigma, this ancient rune, this cosmos mandala, this inevitable whatever it is, this Rosetta Stone translating the past into the present and the present into the past, this wordless dignity, this compact cemetery of lives whose tombstones are more immortal than the tombstones of humankind. The museum wanted it, but he said the museum has enough fossil stones. Poetry needs some too. So I'm going to end with this poem, The Tortoise and the Semi. Ninja turtles invade Turtle Island, while ancient turtle species stretching back to the foundation of the earth trudge toward extinction. Because boys have been brainwashed to fantasize cartoon turtles rather than real turtles that lurk in pond or creek. And the turtle, whose back supports the planet, makes her way patiently across the lonely night highway of the Milky Way in the path of the runaway semi of urban industrial hit and run. On a more cheerful note, lots of turtles do make it across roads without getting squashed. Let's hope our turtle is one of the lucky turtles. Thank you.